up here and preach. We're kind of behind the kind of music we have at this church. Yeah. You know, it's really, it just kind of just revs me up. Gets you ready. You know, you come in here and we have so many people that work so hard, and I told them this morning, I want to say it in front of you, I really appreciate the folks that work up in our sound room every Sunday. Sometimes I come in here and I say, have y'all heard of this song? And they start looking for it, and before you know it, they've got me four or five versions of it, and you know, it helps me, it's such a blessing to me to be able to be here, and I appreciate what they do up there. I appreciate the choir. Appreciate that good singing. I appreciate Brother Keith, and appreciate those that work here in Awana and Sunday school and prepare for the men's ministry and the ladies' ministry and children's church. You know, we got a children's church going on over here, and I think they've been running upwards of 30 young people and kids. Now, next Sunday, because it's Easter, we're not going to have children's church, but we're going to have some chairs set up over here. And something that Miss Darla's been doing is she's been having little goodie bags and little coloring books and things like that for them to give them. And then if we have a situation that we need it, we got a room right over here set up, and we will be able to have a place. But, you know, Easter's special. People come in here, and I know we'll see all kind of pretty colors. There's no telling what Tommy Bruce will look like next Sunday. I told him last Easter he looked like the rabbit on, you know, Alice in Wonderland. All he needed was a top hat. We'll see. But I appreciate everybody here. Appreciate what God's doing, and everybody is important. You know that everybody has a place? Everybody, and everybody's important to God. One time I taught a Sunday school lesson on, and it's just something that was on my heart, no acceptable casualties. You know, sometimes people have the mindset, well, it don't matter about them. It matters about everybody. Yes. See, when Jesus went and died on the cross, he didn't just do it for me. He didn't just do it for you. He did it for everybody. And here's what he did. It was a knowing love, because he did it knowing everything about you, your past and your future, and he still loved you. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. I'm going to pull this down just a little bit so I won't start choking. The pollen is here, right? Amen. Glad, you know, glad to have a little rain. We did get some gravel out in the parking lot. We're going to have to get some more. Seems like it just rains on Saturday and Sunday nowadays. And messes up your opportunity to go catch crappie on Saturday and makes it slippery out here on Sunday. But, you know, we're praying for good weather. Next Saturday, we're going to have our spring fling here, and we are going to have, they said, thousands of eggs. We do still need candy for those, but we're going to have fried Oreos, and I was told we're going to grill about 300 hot dogs, and we're going to have popcorn, and we're going to have all kind of good stuff. So please come next Saturday from 2 to 4 and be with us. They may have something special they want to announce about that, but it's for everybody, okay? You know, in Jesus Christ is for everybody. You know, sometimes I know people go to different kind of churches, but folks, there's just one Lord. There's just one God. And if you're going to go to heaven, you're going to have to go through him. You're not going to go your way. You're not going to go any other way, but you're going to go through Jesus Christ. I heard a man say recently, he was giving his testimony. He was talking about how he had tried everything in the world and how it you know, really didn't satisfy him. He said, I found that it was, all it takes is Jesus. Now, you won't know what I'm talking about until you get him, until you get a hold of him. But, you know, we're at different points and places in our lives, all of us. Some people go through different things. Some people have challenges different than others. But the answer, the solution, is Jesus Christ. You see, until you let him have his proper place in your life, and you quit fighting, and you quit struggling, and you quit trying to do it all by yourself, you're going to always have trouble. But when you get to the point that you're willing to surrender to God and allow God just to work and get yourself out of the way, that's when the Lord can do something in your life. And that's true whether you were raised in church and you've never known anything else. I've heard people say, well, I was listening to preaching before I was born. And there's some people like that. Then there's some people that may not even come into the house of God until they're way up in their years, and it's different for them. When we give an altar call, they don't understand everything that's going on. Now, for me, I've never seen anything else. I can take that red book and read from by memory. I could probably sing about 85 or 90% of them. But that's just where I come from, Brother Tommy. But it's not like that for everybody. There's some people that come into the house of the Lord and you talk about being saved and they say, well, what are you talking about? I'll tell you what we're talking about. We're talking about, and I was reading it with my son getting ready for a report that he's got to do on Billy Graham, and it said very simply like this: he made a decision to follow Jesus. You know, I've heard people preach it this way: come and be converted, okay? Well, let me tell you something. What you need in your life is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, whether you have the Lord or not this morning, you got to make decisions, right?
Right?
We all make decisions in life, and one of the lessons that we have in Celebrate Recovery, and it wasn't that long ago that we were on this, and this is one of those things I want to argue with God about. I said, Lord, you sure you want me to preach that? Well, I want to preach what God wants, okay? Like I heard a preacher say one time, he said, I didn't decide that I was going to follow God. He called me, and the ministry is His, and I don't preach them the way I want to. I preach them the way God sends them. And that's the way it is when I come up here. It would do me no good to try to come up here and do something myself. Now, I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, if you're going to be right with God, he said, you're going to start at the front of this book, and you're going to preach through it, and you're going to start at the front, and you're going to preach through it again. I said, what happened to following the Spirit?
Amen.
Now, I guess maybe it's just me and the way that the Lord works in me, but I'm going to preach what God tells me and deals in my heart. And this morning, what I really have on my heart, it goes right along with one of our lessons in Celebrate Recovery, is the crossroads of life. Now, I want to go, we got a couple of places of Scripture, the book of Joel and the book of Joshua. But how many times are we forced with making decisions? Well, it's every day. I want to extract a verse of Scripture out of the book of Joel, and just because I want you to see it, and I want you to understand it. Now, we know that the prophet had a message, and there's a lot of text that goes around this. I don't even have time to give you the historical on that, or I'd never get done this morning. But I want to read it to you, and I want you to see it. And I want you to think about it. I want you to think about the decisions that you had to make this week. You may have decisions coming up next week. You know, the greatest decision is the decision to follow Christ. But even after that, it's one right after the other that we're faced with. Let's look at the book of Joel, chapter 3, and verse 14. It says this: multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. People standing, trying to make a decision. Sometimes I've had them call and ask. Sometimes they really don't care. I've even had people say something to me like this: well, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to do this. I don't care what you think. You know, they call and ask. You know, and sometimes it's peculiar. They call and you try to help them, and then they turn around, right around, and tell you, well, I'm just going to do so-and-so. And it's kind of like, well, why did you call me? Why are you reaching out? You know, it says in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 15, says, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But here's what Joshua said. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But he's telling them, you got to make a decision. You got to make a decision about what you're going to do. You know, sometimes when you get into a point like this, and this is where we're at in America, and I just want to tell y'all something that I've decided. You know, I get called to preach a lot of funerals. You know what I've decided? I decide that every funeral I preach, I'm going to preach just like they believe everything that I believe. Because if they don't, they're going to hear it anyway. You know, because if you live your whole life like you don't believe in God and you call a preacher to come preach, don't expect him to water down what he believes just because of the way you've been living.
Amen.
Same thing when you come to the house of God. Folks, this is a Bible-believing, fundamental Baptist church, and we're not ashamed of it. We're not liberal. We don't want to be like anybody else. We're not politically correct. We're going to follow God. And that's what you're going to get when you come here. That's just the way that I believe the Lord's called me. But you know, sometimes it's like this. The preacher gets up and he announces his text. Here's what people want to say. They want to nudge the one beside them and say, tell that preacher to stop telling me how to run my life.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people say. They say something like this: it's my life. I'm going to live it the way I want to live it. It ain't none of nobody's business what I do. Well, it don't matter to me. I mean, it does matter because I love you and I care about you. Now, let me tell y'all, young people, I want y'all to listen to this message this morning. I love every one of you. And there's a lot of people sitting out here that look over there and they say, I wish that I could take the experiences of my life and get them ingrained in you so that you don't have to experience the hurts in life that I've experienced because I didn't make good decisions. You see, but we got to be willing to listen. You see, sometimes I've heard it like this. I've even heard it said, he's got a narrow way of living. It's a narrow way of living. And I just don't think that is for me. You know, I've heard those kind of comments and I've heard those words. But I want to tell you, I've also heard this right here. Speak to my heart, O Lord, and lead me in the way everlasting. What did David pray when he prayed to God when he said, search my heart? He said, lead me in the way that is everlasting. It's like this also. I've also heard this. Lord, I like your way. Your way is better than my way. And Lord, I know, even though I don't always understand, even though I can't always see, Lord, your way is the best way. Now, I've heard people say that. Now, I believe that. But what about this one? And this one's where I'm at. You know, sometimes I want to argue with God. Sometimes the Lord tries to lead me in a direction, and it's kind of like this. Well, Lord, if you'll just show me everything that I need to see, if you'll explain everything and how it's going to work out, then I'll follow you. You know what he says? Be quiet and just follow me. Now, sometimes that's hard even for the preacher to do, okay? But I'm still learning. We're going to be learning until Jesus comes. But here's what I pray. Just about the time that I'm arguing with God and I feel him begin to be a little distant, here's what I say. I say, Lord, please don't leave me to myself. Don't leave me alone. Don't stop speaking to me by your Holy Spirit. But Lord, I want you to guide me so that I can become everything that you want me to be. Now, the last place I want to be in my life is a place that I feel like God and his Holy Spirit has walked away from me. I don't want that in my life. I want God to be in my life. I may not understand it all, and I may not understand exactly where we're going, but I know that if I go God's way, I'm going the right way. Amen. Now, here's something to understand about the crossroads of life. You say, well, you said a lot already. Well, think about this right here for just a minute. Every person has decisions to make. Every person. And the decisions you make are absolutely up to you. You're free to choose. Do you know that God is not going to force you to do anything? He's not going to force you to serve him. He's not going to force you to love him. He's not going to force you to make decisions that are in accordance to his word. But he's going to give you a choice that you can make. Remember what Joshua said? He said, you choose who you're going to serve, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, we come in here on Sunday morning and we worship God, but if when we go out of here and the way we live, our lives don't line up with that, it's because of decisions that we've made. But those decisions that we made, they're ours, but there's something that follows them. Now, here's what I want us to understand about love. Love is something that is not love unless it's freely given. You ever thought about, you know, God is God, being God, he could force people to bow down? Well, certainly he could. But forced love is not love at all. You see, when you begin to think about it, God had the angels, the cherubim to worship him, but God wanted children. You know how it hurts mamas and daddies when you've done everything in the world you can for your kids and you turn around and you find them betraying you? They grow up and they go away and they don't come see you. They don't appreciate what you've done. They don't really tell you that they love you. And I know there's a lot of that going on today. I want to tell you why. It's because God is not right in the hearts and in the minds of the children and a lot of times even in the parents. Forced love is not love at all. Amen. We're free to choose, but here's what God wants. The love that God wants is the love that you choose to freely give. The obedience that God wants is the love that you choose to return. It's not something that he's forced. You know, we're living in a world today that there's so many times I look at it and I see the condition. I see the condition of America. I see what's going on. Someone mentioned to me this morning just looking at the things that are going on in our country. And he talked a little bit about this bill that was recently signed and the funding of Planned Parenthood. And he said, I looked and just early in the day, there were over 2,000 abortions that were done in the United States. Now, you know why that grieves my heart? Because I believe it grieves God's heart. But people choose every day, and you say, well, what are you? Well, of course, I believe in life. I'm pro-life. But I want to tell you something. God's not going to force you to make the right decision. He's going to give you an opportunity. See, we have decisions to make. You have moral decisions. What is our moral barometer? My moral barometer cannot be based on what anybody else thinks. It cannot be based on the person beside me. It must be based on the Word of God. I can't tell you the times that even in ministry in my life, I've had people come to me and they say, I just feel like doing so-and-so. Now, here's where you really get in trouble. Let's be careful what we blame God for. They say, God told me, and then they tell me something that's a direct contradiction to the Word of God. Now, folks, I'm just a little bit too old-fashioned to listen to that and not say something. Because if we're not in accordance to the Word of God, then we're not right. We can do whatever we want to do, but our moral barometer needs to be based upon the Word of God. Not based on what we think, not based upon our feelings, not based upon what's popular, or not based upon what's accepted. Because there are too many things in America today that are accepted that are wrong. Why do you say they're wrong? Because God's Word says they're wrong. I'm not sure I have the ability in myself to say, but if God's Word says it, then it's wrong. I once heard it asked of O.J. Simpson's lawyer, do you believe that O.J. Simpson was guilty? And here's what he said. He said, I don't make moral judgments. I make professional judgments. Coming from a lawyer, and the return comment was, by making that statement, you have already made a moral judgment. Now, if you'll think about that for just a minute, sometimes I've heard it this way. Because of where we're at in our lives and the thing that we face, we got to be careful. You know, I got to be careful that I am following this book even when this book gets real close to me. You ever heard the term, somebody say, well, you really got on my toes this morning, preacher. What about our heart? I want God to get on my heart. What about when it gets really close to me? And it's like this. I've heard it said before. I've been in the house of God. And you know what's the most difficult thing? Is when God sends a message by somebody you don't like. Or when the singers come up here to sing and you look up there and you say, I really don't like them. We've been there. That's why you laugh. That's why we think about it and we look at it. But you know what we ought to be listening to? We ought to be putting our ear up to allow the Holy Spirit to direct us. You know why? Because if we don't, I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll be staunch and hard when it's somebody else. But when it comes home to you, when it's your kids, when it's your wife, when it's your husband, when it's your family, you're going to change. We can't change. We got to be faithful to the Word of God. See, we have decisions to make about our moral decisions, but we have decisions to make about our relationships. You know, young people, I want to tell y'all, God has a plan for your life. And God has somebody, and I believe this with all my heart. And I got two boys that are here, and if the Jesus don't come back, one day they're going to be getting married. I want to tell y'all what I've already done. I go in there sometimes when they're asleep, and I put my hand on their head. And I'll be praying that God will send the right woman into their life. I'll be praying that somewhere right now there's a little girl that's being raised in a home. And Lord, I want that little girl to be taught right. I want that little girl to be taught about Jesus. I want her to see what it means to have a mama and daddy that love each other and follow God and walk together. I want to tell you something. If you're going to be equally yoked, young people, if you're saved, you need to marry somebody that's saved. Now, I want to tell you, that's where we're at today. That's why we got so much trouble, is we get out in our life and we start plowing down a road and we wonder why we can't walk together, because we didn't walk together when it was time to walk together. I had somebody come to me one time and she was absolutely heartbroken. Had a young lady been raised in the youth group, and she said, "Would you please pray for my daughter?" She said, "My daughter is about to marry a man that is a Muslim," and she said, "Our hearts are broken." I want to tell you something. My heart's broken for him. And if you can't say amen, we've already got to the point that we're not following this book. The Bible says that we should be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, or for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? You know why the effectiveness of the church is not what it used to be? It's because we've allowed so much of the world to come into those doors, and we've refused to listen to God until the church has become worldly and the world's become so churchy that you cannot separate them. See, life decisions, relationship decisions, it's like this. How will I live my life? For whom will I live my life? You know, I'll tell you what's tough for me as a dad. I got a boy about to graduate from high school, and I'm praying, trying to help him make a decision about school, understanding how important it is, you know, that he get to the point that he can pay his own car insurance. I mean, get to the point that he can take care of his own self. And, I love them, and they can stay there, but there comes a time when they ought to be able to take care of themselves. When they're 30 and 40 years old, still living at home, something ain't right. And I'm trying to help him make good decisions. And I want him to make good decisions. But you know what I'm thinking about? God, what's your plan? God, don't let our thoughts or what we think is right or what we think is the right career path or where we think he needs to go to school, Lord, interfere with your will. You ever known that sometimes you might be praying and fighting against your own prayers when you're asking God to direct, and God might be putting up roadblocks in front of a school because God knows that there's something over there that will be an influence in their life that will turn on them and keep them from following the Lord? What we want is surrender to the will of God, the Holy Spirit, and yes, we want to go forward and have a plan, but what is your will, God? Would you guide us? Would you help us? Would you help us? Yes, we can choose, but Lord, would you direct my choices? You see, I believe the decisions we make here, they matter for eternity. You see, I believe the things that we do, the fellowship that we have, the love that we have for one another. I told somebody this morning, I said, I was thinking about it yesterday. My wife and I, we rode off to the country, and I love to ride because I can think. I was thinking about this church. I was thinking about the vision that Pastor Quinn had for this church. I was thinking about the call that God placed on his life to cause him, even after he had had a stroke, sitting in a wheelchair, to get people on the phone and say, "God just won't let me alone. God is just moving in my heart and in my spirit." And I began to think about it. And although I ever didn't actually meet him, I thought, Lord, even at the end of his life, I wish I could have talked to him. I wish I could have thanked him. I wish I could have shook his hand. I wish I could have went to his funeral service and honored him as a man of God that he was. You know why? Because there are people that have been saved because of this church that may not have been saved anywhere else. Amen. You know, we make decisions here that do matter for eternity. And here's what I want to get to. When we come in here and worship, and we shake one another's hands, and we serve God, and we have fellowship, it matters for eternity. Because there's going to come a day when we're going to be in heaven with the Lord forever. And you know what? I don't believe that when we get there, it's just going to be oblivion what we've done down here. We're going to remember one another. Or we're going to worship together. We're going to praise God together. We're going to see our loved ones. When you serve God down here, it matters. I was at a funeral recently of a preacher, and he was in a beautiful wooden casket that he chose. He chose that thing and told his wife a long time before. Now, this man was just in his early, I think he was 61, building a church, building right in the middle of building a church that was incomplete, a congregation growing. And his wife went and seen him at the hospital. She said, "God's not through. Look at you. Look what you're doing for the Lord. His time's not our time," he says. And he said, "I'm not going to be able to finish it. Somebody else will." But when I went to his funeral and I walked up there, I knew that man. I spoke to his wife, and surely she was broken. There was a saying that was embroidered in the cover of that casket. It said, "Let the words of my life speak for eternity." You know, we're free to make decisions. Yes, we are. But the decisions that we make, they matter for eternity. Will I follow God? Will I surrender to the will of God? Will I be willing to suffer my own self that He can go forward? Do you know that sometimes when you're fighting the flesh and you're trying to learn what it means to follow God every day, there's some suffering involved? You know why there's suffering involved? Because you have to deny yourself. And that's difficult. Will I accept Christ as my Savior, or will I let my pride get in the way? That's what sometimes people struggle with. And I want to tell you this. They've got some people that hadn't been here in a few Sundays. I'm looking for them to come back. When we see people come in the door and we ain't seen them, you know what we ought to do? We ought to run up to them, grab them, put our arms around them. Tell them how much we love them. Tell them we missed them. And you know what people? You know why people don't come back? Because I heard what you did. Heard about that. How you handling that? May not be none of your business. It's God's business. That's why when I stand up here and preach, this is not mine, this is God's. And if the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, you move in response to Him, not me. I'm nobody. But God loves you and He cares for you and He cares that you're here. And there are people out there right now that need to be here. And maybe the reason they're not here is because we're not where we need to be, that we can love them the right way in behalf of Jesus Christ. Now, understanding we have decisions and choices to make, I want you to know that God wants to help you with your choices. You see, God has a perfect plan. This is my life verse. If I'm ever a famous preacher and I get to sign Bibles, this is my verse. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6. This is the verse God gave me before I ever met my wife. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." You see, the first thing is to trust in the Lord. The second is to lean not to your own understanding. You know, a little bit about me, and I've said this before, but there was a time in my life, young people, this is before I ever even knew that Miss Kendra existed in the world, that I was dating a girl, and I thought that was the girl that God had for me. I really did. I loved her. I thought that was my life. But God began to show me through His Spirit that it wasn't right. Because God had put a call on my life to serve Him, and He showed me that I would not be able to fulfill that ministry with that person. And although I had to forego my own feelings, I decided that I was going to surrender to the will of God, and I broke up with that person, not having any idea where I was going to go in my life. And that's when God gave me this verse. And, you know, I had to learn, and even then, at a very young age, just to trust God and to follow God. Because one thing that I knew that I wanted, I didn't want to date a whole bunch of people. I wanted God to send me a Christian wife. And I wanted Him to send me one that would go to church with me, that would serve God with me, that I could go preach. And I want to tell you, there's been very, very few times in my life that my wife hadn't been sitting right on the front bench praying for me. You know, if I had not listened to the will of God, if I had not listened to God, I'd been like a lot of people. You know, they say, I should. You know how many times have we heard? I should have listened to God. I should have been obedient. But I listened. Now, I hadn't always listened. But I listened then, and God blessed me. You see, God wants to help you make decisions with your life, but the first thing you got to do, you got to trust in the Lord, and then lean not into your own understanding, because you cannot make decisions based upon your feelings or your emotions. They'll lead you the wrong way. Amen. We'll make decisions based on what thus saith the Word of God. Says that the Lord will direct your paths. And here's something about that word direct. It means to cut a path. That means that God's going to come in like a bulldozer pushing trees down, and he's going to make a way for you to follow. It's not just directing like telling you, but he's going to get in front of you, and he's going to say, this is the way that I'm going. He said, when you'll hear a voice, follow him. He'll cut that path. He'll make a way for you to follow. He'll direct your paths. And when you come to him and you cry out to him, you have to ask and believe God to help you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Say, well, it's so hard to follow God. No, it's hard to fight the flesh. See, if you decide you're going to live for God and you're going to serve him, and that sweet peace comes upon you, you know when it comes? It's when you surrender. It comes when you decide that you're going to let God be in charge and not be in charge yourself. Because God has a perfect plan for your life. He has a perfect plan for your moral decisions. He has a perfect plan for your relationship decisions. He has a perfect plan for eternity. You see, because, and this is something we must understand, our decisions and our choices, they impact others. Because I believe that our life is powerful. You say, well, I don't, my decisions don't impact anybody. Oh, yes, they do. Your life and your decisions that impacts others because of the power of influence that you have. You know, I can't tell you, I'm getting to the point. Sometimes I can't remember, some things I can. But there's some times when I was in Sunday school that I was just a kid that I really remember the impact of Sunday school teachers. You know, a lot of times, here's what we need to understand. It wasn't the lesson. It wasn't the Bible lesson. But I remember one time I was in a Sunday school class, and I was a rambunctious boy. Okay, I would run. I'd knock stuff over. One time I knocked a Christmas tree over on a lady and the deacon. He was a big, tall guy. He just went down the aisle going, ooh, it sounded like Lurch. And I remember how he made me feel. But I'll tell you, his wife was a Sunday school teacher. She was my Sunday school teacher. And I remember one time I was in class and we were painting, and like most boys do, I was jumping around. I knocked over the paint and it spilled all over the table. Of course, you know what? I was embarrassed. I wanted to wipe it up, just like Luke. And you know what she did? She stopped my hand. She said, it's all right. She said, you see this puddle? She said, we can use this paint and then we can just clean up what's left. I want to tell you something. Preaching and teaching is one thing, and sometimes people are not going to remember the message, but they're going to remember how you treated them. They're going to remember how you made them feel. They're going to remember whether or not you love them. Because your life is powerful because of influence. And your testimony is precious. We got to guard it. You know, the weight, I want to tell y'all something, folks, being a pastor. I want to live for God, but I'm responsible. How many times, and I won't ask you to raise your hands, but you think about it. Have you put your trust in somebody, and you thought they were a man or a woman of God, and they let you down? I'm not wanting to put undue weight on you, but I want to tell you something. The Bible says, unto whosoever much is given, much is required of them. If I'm going to stand up here and preach this book, I ought to live this book. And it's okay for you to look behind me. It's okay for you to check up on me because of the testimony that I have. That's why that I pay attention. Somebody mentioned something this morning to me. They said, you need to be on guard. I said, I am on guard. I pay attention every day because I know the enemy does not like what God is doing at Hiram First Baptist Church. Do you know that the enemy does not like it when you get up on Sunday morning and you say, we're going to the house of God, or we're going to serve God? Now, I know your kids are going to fight you. They're not going to get out of the bed. They're not going to brush their teeth. Are you going to fuss all the way to church sometime? But just get out and come on in with everybody else. There's a song that says this. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Don't trade it for treasure. Don't give it away. You see, decisions do affect others. My decisions affect my spouse. My decisions affect my children. My decisions affect you. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, the scripture says, and you fathers, Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You know, sometimes I've asked people the question, or I've actually tried to speak to someone. I say, well, how are you doing? And folks, I've heard comments like this more than once. Somebody will say, well, as good as I can, considering the circumstances and the environment that I live in. See, I look over here at you youth, and I'm so glad y'all are here. I had a young man tell me one time, he said, you know, when I was 14, I quit church. I just quit church when I was 14. I asked him, I said, well, why'd you quit church when you was 14? He said, because my mom and daddy did. You know, that's why it's so important that as a parent, I got to be a godly dad before I can be a preacher. That's my first ministry. Last thing I want to share with you. We have choices to make, but our choices have consequences. You see, sometimes we can decide, we can accept Christ as our Savior, we're going to follow the Lord. We can come down and we can accept Him and we decide we're going to walk with Him. But sometimes we may have already done things in our life that even following Christ will follow us. They'll hurt us. The things that we've done sometimes leave scars. Now, God can heal them. And when we come to the Lord, what I understand in reading the Word of God is when we put them under the blood, He can't even see them. He can't. But we still remember it. And when it comes back at you constantly and it's thrown in your face, I want you to understand something. That's not God. That's the devil. See, all the Lord wants is for you to take it and put it right here and let the blood cover it. But sometimes the consequences, they follow us. See, a person that has spent 40, 50 years of their life abusing their body, they can get saved, but it doesn't mean their body is healed. Sometimes we can make decisions, and I've known of people in prison actually accepting Christ, and their life's changed, and it's difficult. My wife and my son and I are doing a book report on a man who was saved in prison. And he gives the testimony of how he hated God, and he didn't want nothing to do with God. He said, finally I got to the point that I had to look up because God was all I had. And he accepted the Lord, he said, but even then it was a struggle. He said, but I learned every day how to follow the Lord more. And he said, as I began to follow the Lord, and he said, I changed. People saw a change in me. And a man went from being a brawler and a fighter until he was actually running Bible studies in the prison, so much so that he was asked to go and work in other prisons to help them. This is a man with two life sentences. In the process of time, his life changed so much and he made so much good in other people's lives that he was twice pardoned. The second pardon came from the governor. That doesn't happen for everybody. But if you read his testimony, he'll tell you how the peace that flooded his soul. You know, there are a lot of people in prison, but they're not behind bars. They're in prison to their own selves. They're in prison to their past. They're in prison to some type of sin that they won't turn loose of. Amen. But we can give it to the Lord, and He can help us get past it. I believe that with all my heart. One more verse of Scripture in Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to ask Him to get ready with a song. But in verse number 13, this is where Christ speaks, and He says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Here's what people say. It just looks too straight for me. Had a man tell me one time he was on my heart and I was just a teenager. I would go in to see him, a friend of mine, an adult. And he said, you know, they're just things I'm not willing to do. And I couldn't understand that, but I'd never been where he had been. But not knowing the Lord, he had never been where I was at. He said, it just looks too difficult for me. It's too straight. See, the broad way, the enticements of the world, all the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's the broad way. The question is, are we going God's way? My choices. Are they going to be God's way? Are they going to be my way? Only two ways. See, the straight gate, it leads to life. It leads to peace. It leads to joy. And I believe, as Paul said, that godliness with contentment is great gain. There's no better place you can be in life than right there. But the wide gate, the broad gate, it leads to destruction. That's where we're at in America today. And people say, well, I don't like that kind of preaching. Here's people that say that. Here's what they want. They want America to be all right, but they don't want God to be a part of it. And here's what I want you to understand. That's not going to happen. America will never be all right. Homes will never be all right. Schools will never be all right. As long as we say we want them to be all right, but we don't want God to be a part of it. Question is, are we going to let God be our leader and be the one who guides our choices? Or are we going to do our own thing? You know, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know the Lord. And maybe somebody here this morning, God spoke to your heart and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. So I don't know if I've ever been saved. Well, now's the time. Now's the time to come and accept the Lord. You may be here this morning, and there may be something in your life. And I want to tell you something. That ain't none of the devil's business what goes on in here. And if you put something under the blood and he just keeps bringing it back, you just come and say, get behind me, Satan. You get away from me, I'm going to serve God. I've made a decision with my life. Maybe you've made a decision in your life and you say, well, preacher, it just don't seem as easy for me as it does for you. Let me tell you something. I have my battles. But I have decided to follow Jesus. And when you just get grit and you get down and you grab a hold and say, no matter what, I'm going to trust God. That's when God will begin the process of moving in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you've accepted the Lord and you just like to come down and make a public profession. We'd welcome you. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask you to rise to your feet. We're going to open the altars. Of course, the altars are always